This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. The UW system has received millions of dollars in cuts during recent budget cycles. Along with that, some lawmakers have even criticized research that's been conducted on campuses and the way faculty spend their workdays. To try to address those issues, UW System President Ray Cross laid out a number of priorities at the December Board of Regents meeting, saying he wants to look at how business is conducted throughout the system, how academics could be reformed, and how fees and new building projects could be scrutinized more. Here today to talk about what the proposals could mean for UW-La Crosse are UWL Chancellor Joe Gao, UWL Associate Professor of Biology and Faculty Senate Chair Brad Seebach, and UWL Political Scientist Joe Heim. So maybe let's dive into these priorities right away. The first priority that Ray Cross put forward is reforming business practices. So he says he wants to do a thorough analysis of back office practices, which is looking at IT departments, HR. And Chancellor Gao, I'm assuming this plays into the work that schools will have to do in regards to looking at the state budget and potential cuts.
We do the same thing on campus, and I think it's wise. And, you know, you always have to be looking at, particularly with technology, are there ways that you can do things more efficiently and less expensively? And actually, we have an opportunity, I'm told, with our phone system and can do some things with new technologies that will save some money. So I'm not surprised that President Cross is talking about that, because it's something, you know, very important to take advantage of those opportunities.
Joe Heim, has there ever been a time when another UW system president has really laid out proposals like this, saying we need to really hunker down and take a look at everything we're doing?
Well, you have to go back a ways. I don't know if I want to name any names, but yes, different presidents have done things like this. But it hasn't always been very effective over time. And I think Ray Cross is more businesslike than previous presidents. And it's one of the criticisms I hear from regents over the years is that that our university presidents have tended to come from academia. And of course, we don't understand business, apparently. So that criticism has been there, frankly. But generally, I think Ray Cross is moving, and this era has changed, you know, financially, et cetera. And I think he's trying to make the university more businesslike without the onerous sides of it, which could be there. So I applaud him for doing that. And he's far more organized. He's a very nice guy, but he's very organized about things. And he has changed the structure and culture of UW system administration. And he's brought in some good people, frankly, that are going to help with that as well. So I'm optimistic that that this proposal of turning us more business-like will have a positive outcome for the entire system.
He also wants to establish a hotline where people can report waste, fraud, and abuse, which I thought there already was a state hotline to do this. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on this.
Well, it's not a new idea within the country. You know, we have ombudsmen and we have hotlines of this sort at the federal level. So it's a borrowed idea, but it's a good idea. And it's consistent with business, frankly.
And Chancellor Gao, if, you know, someone on the UWL campus wanted to address this locally, not take it to the state, where would they go if they thought that they had ideas where the campus could save money?
I'm not going to say, but let's just say that I am contacted frequently by people who have issues about the university. And, you know, I guess what I don't, but I'm a little, you know, uneasy. Is this, what was it, fraud, waste, and abuse?
Fraud, waste, and abuse, yeah.
You know, I don't think there's a lot of that going on. I do think that there are people who maybe get a parking ticket and they're not happy, or there's, you know, the hours of the dining hall or something like that, and we hear about it. You know, I would think if there was some major fraud, waste, and abuse, we would be told. But if this is some new way to give people some assurance that they will have an avenue to express concerns, that's wonderful. I would think there would be some cost that would come with it.
They said it'd be about $70,000 annually.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that after a year that it's looked at, and is it doing something that outweighs that $70,000 expenditure?
And also under this proposal, which Chancellor Gao, you addressed before the break, is reforming the search process for presidential, chancellor, and vice presidential positions within the campus. And I know there's a bit of difference of opinion. Brad Seebach, we've talked before how you wish that that process would remain open and that people on campus could see who the final three or four finalists are.
Absolutely. I want to say two things with regard to this. One is that I think if they're not seeing the breadth of candidates that they are hoping for in the search process over the last number of years, that probably has more to do with the general atmosphere. Who wants to step into a leadership role at a campus that's facing very poor relations with the state government, which is continually cutting their budget? That's a really hard situation to step into. So I would urge them to be looking at that as part of the reason rather than the openness of the process. And secondly, and this picks up on what Chancellor Gao was saying before the break, the openness in the process is something that builds relationships for that person as they're coming onto campus, and they then have an opportunity to work with people in a very positive way who are supportive of them before they even set foot on campus. And I think that's an essential thing for individuals coming into chancellor or provost positions.
Now, I will put in a little bit of nuance here, and I don't know whether Brad will want to counter what I'm going to say, but I have heard that there is some concern that chancellor positions that there's sort of a traditional requirement that person have the qualifications to be a tenured professor. Now, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe we're at a point in time when we need to think, is that really so necessary? That really seems to be a reflection of the old days when we thought, well, it's a faculty person, and I certainly fit the mold, stepped out and became the leader of the campus. But, we're finding that there are people from all walks of life who have skills and background that can lead. And I guess I would just hope that we can be open to that, not saying that, but I think that was something that I heard in this dialogue as well.
Joheim?
The one thing that I've heard over the years has to do with people who will not apply because the names are released at the end. In other words, if you're at a university someplace, you're a chancellor or president, you don't want your present campus to know that you're doing this, to be blunt. And so I've heard from legislators and administrators that's part of the reason we don't get the best and brightest necessarily always applying for these
positions.
But why
does that matter if the current campus knows? Maybe you've been sought out by the other campus.
Because some view it as negatively.
Well, I mean, to put it sort of maybe a bit coarsely, it would be like you were looking for another spouse. I mean, that's not exactly. But, the thing of it is that's really unique to Wisconsin, and I think maybe this is where there's room for a little bit of compromise. We have a law that says the names of the top five people, not the finalists, but the top five people have to be disclosed. And so what you saw in the search for the president of the system, Ray Cross, there were three finalists. Well, there were two other people who were offered that opportunity, and they said, no, I don't want to go any further. I don't wish this to be public. And then those names were disclosed because of the law. Mm-hmm. That seems a little bit overbroad. I would hope we would agree that there needs to be finalists. We need to know who they are. But, as far as who applied for the job and who had conversations at a preliminary level, I don't know that that's that critical. So that's where maybe there's room to rethink this without, kind of totally privatizing it.
I want to talk next about the segregated fee and facility request reforms that President Cross is calling on to. Essentially, at this point in time, every UW-La Crosse student pays $1,200 annually in segregated fees. This is on top of tuition, and that pays for anything from the rec center. It finances the student union. It pays for a sustainability initiative, basically non-state funded programs that the students support, more or less. So what are your thoughts when you hear that maybe reform, we need to take a look at existing seg fees and really scrutinize future segregated fees? Brad?
I would say that's true, that we do need to take a look at how segregated fees are set up, what they're being used for, and the approval process that students use on different campuses. I mean, this is as much an expense as the tuition dollars that people are very worried about. Whether you want to restrict campuses from using segregated fees, that's a different matter. I don't think you want to put overall caps in on that. And I think the student governance groups would probably be in agreement. There are things that they would have as high priorities that could only be paid for sometimes through segregated fees.
Chancellor Gao?
Well, it's important to remember that on our campus, at least, I don't know how it works on other campuses, segregated fees have all been voted on by students. They've asked for them. They have things they want. We have a green fee where people said, let's do sustainability projects, and I believe it's $7 a semester, and that was voted on and instituted, and that money is collected and then used to do – the students have a committee, and they set up the projects. That academic initiatives fee that you talked about, that's been used to do more library hours, to provide people with some assistance on study abroad. Those fees are there for a reason, and I need to underscore, we are not a for-profit entity. We're not like an airline where we say, hey, let's create a baggage fee and we can make $25 more per passenger and pass that on to our shareholders as profit. We are here to provide a great academic experience to the students. We're very sensitive to what they need and what they want, and we try to find a balance in how to pay for that, and that's why we have the structure we have. If people want to take a closer look at it, that's fantastic, because I think they'll discover that all those fees are there for a reason. If you want to rethink them, we can do that as well. But, you know, I would make no apologies for having them.
Last week, I talked with UWL Student Association President Kaylee Otterbacher, and she's actually working on a committee with UW System exploring these seg fees. And she – well, I'm going to play a clip from her. Basically, her – thought that maybe control should stay within campuses and not come from the system. Here's Kaylee.
And I do really think that, you know, students on each campus do decide what's best for their campus. It's not my job at UW-La Crosse to decide what's best for UW-Green Bay. That's not, you know, that's not fair. Students elect their leaders. They're supposed to do that. That's the way it's always been done. And I think that's a very good way of doing so. And if students start to realize that, you know, hey, these seg fees are getting a little out of control for what we're getting out of it, then it's their job to go back and look at their elected officials and say, what's going on here? How can I get involved in the process? And how can I change this?
Joe Heim, did you want to react to that?
I think that the comments of Brad and the chancellor are very accurate. Bill Kelly, the president of the Student Association. The only thing I'm going to add is that nationally, fees in general have gone up faster than tuition. And that's part of the reason it became a political concern, nationally at least. I think in Wisconsin, you get down to look at it and you basically applaud how it's done and the fact that they are reasonable.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up the national piece. Let's remember, and I'm, you know, guilty of maybe a little bit of institutional promotion here, but I am the chancellor and like to do that. But Kiplinger's magazine said, you know, schools that charge less than $30,000 a year in fees and tuition, and that would be us, let's rank them in terms of who provides the greatest value to the students in terms of outcomes. We're number 4 in the whole country. So I think what that says is we have a very reasonable fee and tuition structure, and we provide great value in return for that. So, you know, I think, again, you'll have to forgive me. We're doing this correctly. It doesn't need to be dramatically changed at UW-La Crosse.
One of the final priorities that President Cross wants to really take a deep look at this year is refocusing academic priorities. So he has suggested developing uniform work guidelines for how faculty are using their time outside of the classroom. He wants to manage and really look at courses that have low enrollments, programs as well, and also potentially drive down the credits required to graduate in certain programs. Brad, I know this is something that faculty are really paying close attention to.
Well, how could you pick three topics there that would be more to the heart of a faculty member? Program array, when he's talking about program array on different campuses, that really speaks to a core interest of campus faculty as well as students, and I think probably to the families of all of those students. Do you want to send your child to college in a place where they have an opportunity to explore the career options that are out in front of them fully, or do you want to send them to a specialized campus? If you want the former and have that person, that new student, be
able
to...
Look at biology, philosophy, English.
Sure. I mean, the average student who comes to campus here will change their major more than twice during the time in their our first 2 years on campus. I'm not talking about a simple change from something like chemistry into biochemistry, which is a gradual sort of transition, but I mean broadly between major fields. And so you want to maintain strengths in a broad array of programs in order to allow people to determine what they are best suited to, what they most enjoy as they go through this transition from childhood into being an adult and out on their own in the world. So the program array, when we talk about that at the UW system level, people get very nervous here because it starts to speak to are we going to close programs that are that have smaller enrollments than others? And while you have to look at some things like that in looking at efficiencies, you also have to recognize that a program that has classes that are enrolling 10 or 15 students rather than having 65 or 100 in a lecture section, that class with 10 or 15, that's a core part of the college student's experience. It's one of the places they'll actually have a quality experience of interaction with faculty and develop the mentorships that will carry them on.
As we're running short on time, I'm wondering if we want to go down the line and just maybe share your final thoughts when you think about and just how we approach this year as a UW system. Joe Heim?
Well, I'm going to throw out an accolade to both Brad and the Chancellor. One of the things that I think has distinguished UW La Crosse from other campuses, both in the last few years but also this year, is their response to changes of this sort. I think morale in this campus is better than most campuses. And I think a big part of it is the chancellor's role in how he handles these types of changes and minimizes the impact on faculty. And I think Brad understands this as well. They both responded almost immediately to these news stories of the last several days. And I think it's very effective communication with faculty and allays some of the fears that people otherwise would have.
Chancellor Gao, any final thoughts on how we approach the year?
Well, Joe Heim is very kind, and I'm glad you feel that way. We'll keep trying. I have five words. The cut is too big. That's the message. I think everybody listening to this show should take that to the governor and the legislators. The cut is too big. Let's rethink it. $300 million is too much to take out of the UW system and expect us to keep providing the kind of excellence we provide. So let's hope we can get that across.
And Brad Seebach.
I would like the people of the state actually to understand the importance of the UW system remaining strong and high quality. The last thing that you want to do when you have an 18-year-old leave your household is to have them decide to go somewhere outside of Wisconsin and make those major life decisions based on what they're experiencing elsewhere, rather than to have them do it in-state through the institutions we have. And this cut is large enough that it will have detrimental effects.
UWL Associate Professor of Biology and Faculty Senate Chair Brad Seebach, UWL Chancellor Joe Gao, and UWL Political Scientist Joe Heim were my guests today. We were talking about changes to the UW system. I should note that Wisconsin Public Radio is a part of the UW system. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Mian Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share a comment or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.